All right, so we're going to take a deep dive into these Chardon Local Schools financial reports. You know the ones you send over from November 2024?
Yeah.
We've got bank statements, cash summaries, budget comparisons. We even get to peek into the cafeteria and building funds. It's like we're financial detectives, you know, piecing together a puzzle.
Yeah, I like that analogy. And, you know, by looking at all these pieces together, we can kind of get a good sense of how Chardon Local Schools is doing financially.
Okay, so first up is something called a bank reconciliation on slide 2. What's that all about?
Well, think of it like when you check your receipts against your bank statement, it's all about making sure the school's records, you know, their records match what the bank has on file.
Oh.
And in this case, the total adjusted balances do match at over $29 million.
Wow.
That's a good sign that they're keeping track of their money.
Makes sense. Okay, so now we're on slide 3, and this shows us the cash summary. Lots of numbers here. What's the most important thing to focus on?
Probably the general fund row. This is like the school's main checking account, where they manage everyday expenses, like teacher salaries and keeping the lights on.
Okay, so it looks like on slide 4, they're projected to have over $18 million
yeah.
in that general fund at the end of the year. Speaking of the general fund, slide 5 mentions general fund days of cash. It says they have 126.90 days worth.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly?
So that's a measure of how long they could keep the school running if for some reason they suddenly stop getting any new money. Think of it like having an emergency savings account for the school district. 126 days is a pretty good cushion. It means they could operate for more than a third of the school year, even with no new income.
Wow, that's a relief. So it sounds like they're in a pretty good position to handle unexpected situations. So we know they have money, but how are they getting it? Slide 6 shows us their revenue for November, and they actually brought in more than they budgeted, over $652,000. The charts here are colorful, but what's the main story they tell us?
Well, they show us where that money is coming from. The biggest chunk comes from state funding, which makes sense. But local sources also play a significant role.
And when we look closer at those local sources, it seems like property taxes are a big contributor.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who live in the area are playing a big part in supporting the school financially.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, now let's see where all that money is going. Slide 8 breaks down their expenses for November. And it looks like they spent over $4 million that month alone.
Okay.
$4 million. That seems like a lot.
Remember, we're talking about a large organization responsible for educating thousands of students. If we break it down, salaries and benefits make up the biggest chunk of the spending, which is pretty typical for schools. They have to pay their teachers and staff, right?
Of course, teachers are the backbone of any school. So after salaries, what's the next biggest expense?
Purchase services. This covers a wide range of things they need to buy from outside vendors, like transportation, utilities, and specialized programs.
Exactly.
And then you have other expenses, which basically covers everything else. Things like school supplies, teacher training, and maybe even new equipment for the school.
Okay, it's interesting to see how much goes into running a school district. It's not just about textbooks and classrooms. Now, I'm curious about slides 11 and 12, which focus on the cafeteria and building funds. These seem different from the general fund we've been talking about.
Yeah, they are. Slide 11 shows us the food service report. And something interesting pops up here. They actually lost money in November, over $50,000.
Oh, no. Is the cafeteria going broke?
Not necessarily. It's not uncommon for the food service fund to fluctuate, especially this time of year. Mm. Remember, school lunch programs are very seasonal, and they might have had some extra costs or fewer students buying lunch as we head into the holiday season. The important thing is that they still have money left in the fund overall.
That's good to hear. And what about slide 12 in the Permanent Improvement Fund? I've been seeing a huge spike in spending back in August. What was going on then?
Great question. If we look closely, slides 13 and 14 give us the answers. They received a large grant in August, over $683,000, and they used it for some major projects.
So that's where that spending spike came from. But what exactly did they spend the grant money on?
According to these reports, they bought new school buses, made improvements to the stadium, and even had a bleacher inspection. These are all long-term investments, which is why they are tracked separately from day-to-day expenses.
This is really fascinating. It's like we're peeling back the layers of a financial onion, seeing how all these different funds work together to keep the school district running. I'm excited to keep digging and see what other discoveries we make.
Yeah, me too.
All right. That's good.
So
we've seen how Chardon Local Schools is doing, you know, with their everyday spending. But now I'm curious about some of their other financial responsibilities. Slide 15 introduces the self-insurance fund. What's that all about?
Well, it's how the school district handles risks, specifically for things like employee health claims. Instead of paying a separate insurance company, they set aside money in this fund to cover those costs themselves.
So it's like their own internal insurance program. That makes sense. But looking at the chart, it seems like the fund balance has been decreasing over the past year. Is that something to be concerned about?
It's definitely worth paying attention to. The purple line shows us the reserve amount, and it's been steadily declining. This could be because of a few things, like an increase in health claims from employees, or maybe a change in how they invest the money in the fund.
So it might not be a major red flag, but it's something they need to keep a close eye on. What kind of money goes into this self-insurance fund anyway?
Well, the report highlights that both the school board and the employees contribute to it.
Makes sense. It's a shared responsibility to make sure the fund stays healthy. Now let's shift gears and talk about salaries. Slide 10 gives us a detailed breakdown of salaries for November 2024.
Yeah, this is a great way to see how much of the budget is going towards different employee groups. The biggest portion is for certified regular salaries, which covers teachers who have their teaching certificates, followed by classified regular salaries for other staff members.
Looking at these colorful bars, we can see how the pay scales differ between different roles in the district, and we can even see the individual parts that make up each salary, like benefits and retirement contributions.
Right. And it's important to remember that this slide is just a snapshot of November. To get the full picture, we need to look at the total salaries paid out so far this fiscal year, which adds up to a whopping $9,268,087.
That's a huge amount. It really shows how crucial it is for the school district to manage those salary costs carefully. I'm starting to understand just how complex it is to run a school district's finances.
Absolutely. It's like piecing together a giant puzzle, and we're starting to see how all the pieces fit. But remember, these reports only tell part of the story. There's much more to consider beyond just the numbers.
You're right. Things like how well students are learning, how involved the community is, and the overall quality of the education they provide are all important parts of the picture. Those are things you can't necessarily capture in a financial report.
Exactly. So as we continue our deep dive, it's good to remember that these numbers are valuable, but they don't give us the whole picture. There's always more to the story.
Well said. I'm excited to see what other insights we uncover as we wrap up our exploration of these reports. So we've covered a lot of ground in these Chardon Local School District financial reports. We've seen their PED statements, learned about their general fund, and even explored how they manage their cafeteria and building projects. What are some of the biggest things that stand out to you, after looking at all this information?
One thing that really strikes me is how important transparency is when it comes to school finances. These reports provide a ton of information that allows anyone, parents, taxpayers, community members, to see how the district is managing its resources.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
When things are open and clear, it builds trust, and it makes everyone feel like they're part of the process. It also encourages people to ask good questions and get involved in conversations about how our schools are funded.
Exactly. Another important takeaway is understanding the balancing act involved in school finance. The district has to juggle so many different priorities. They have to provide a quality education, maintain their buildings and facilities, attract and retain great teachers and staff, all while staying within their budget.
Yeah, it sounds like a giant puzzle where all the pieces have to fit together perfectly. And as we've seen, sometimes unexpected things happen, like a jump in insurance claims or needing to do major repairs. That can throw things off balance.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's so important for school districts to have a solid financial plan, a healthy reserve fund to cover those unexpected costs, and a clear understanding of their long-term needs.
This deep dive has been so eye-opening. I feel like I'm starting to understand the language of school finances. It's not just about numbers. It's about making strategic decisions that affect students, teachers, and the whole community.
Well said. And remember, these financial reports are only one piece of the puzzle. To really get the full picture, you also need to consider things like how well students are performing academically, their overall well-being, and the quality of the education they're receiving.
So to our listener, we encourage you to keep digging into these reports, ask questions, and use this information to participate in important conversations about the future of Chardon Local Schools.
Because when a community is informed, they can really make a positive difference in education.
That's a great point to end on. Thanks for joining us for this financial deep dive. We hope you learned something new and feel empowered to get involved in your local school district's financial decisions.